Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who had a dream last night that I was fishing for the perfect first HOH to talk about. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Sunday Night Recap, episode number two. Can you believe there's only been two episodes here of this Big Brother season? I can't believe it. Very excited to talk about it all here tonight on our first Sunday Night Recap of the season. And here we are back with a great panel. Let me welcome in first the man who has been getting, I'm sure, almost no sleep so far in this young Big Brother season. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great, mostly because I hate meatheads, and luckily there's only one of them in this podcast, Rob.
What? Taryn, come on. You misjudge me. There's so little that you just, Rob, did you get a chance to know me?
I've seen you eat chicken. There's lots of meat that goes into that head.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just give me a chance, Taryn. You know, Taryn, I was thinking of you. I was watching the commercials during Big Brother, and that they had a commercial for this movie where you go to this island and then every half hour ages you a year. And I was like, oh, this must be what it's like to watch the live feeds nonstop.
Yeah. That's what is that movie called?
Old. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the subtitle for Big Brother 23.
Every half hour ages you a year.
Big Brother 23.
Frenchie's HOH. Yes. All right. Well, excited to have your takes on everything that's going on at this hour. Okay. Here with us, of course, always a treat to talk to this woman. It is Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
Great. This woman, look, 50-50 odds, which means that me and Asia are definitely both safe on this podcast.
You are
tonight.
Safe.
Definitely nothing could change that fact. I mean, I don't know. I've been a lightning bug's length from a butt crack of a donkey all day. So we'll just see how it goes tonight. But the episode was fun, at least.
Yes. Okay. All right. Mary, good to have you here with us to talk some BB. And of course, very excited to have here with us. Of course, you could hear her on our Married at First Sight wrap ups. It's the great Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm hanging in there because, you know, last night I went out. I lost my keys. I lost my wallet. I lost my phone. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm not all there. I'm not all together right now, but I think I can make it through just for the episode.
Okay. Be very quiet when you go and retrieve those items.
Very.
Okay. All right. Very excited for our panel here tonight. Of course, you can send in your questions as we will take them all season long. Go to robswebsite.com/BB questions. We'll pull them up later on in the show. And then on Monday, just a heads up, it will be the first time out for The Slop. That's the patron-only podcast we do to cover all of the nonsense that happens in the Big Brother universe, both in the Big Brother 23 house and amongst the Big Brother community at large. If you see slop happening anywhere and you want us to talk about it on the show, use the link robhasawebsite.com/getsloppy to send in your submissions for things you'd like to hear us talk about on the show. And of course, that's going to be on Monday nights for the Rob's Podcast patrons. Okay. I guess we had the task of talking about Frenchie's HOH. If you're new to Rob's Podcast, what we like to do is talk about the episode first. There's a lot of people that I know you don't hear from them too often on Twitter, but there are a lot of people that watch the episodes of Big Brother, try not to know what's going to happen. So as a courtesy, we try to talk about everything that's happening on the show first, and then we'll talk about bringing more of the information from the live feeds later on in the show. So I guess, but buckle up, it's a wild week of the Big Brother house. Taryn, just in the broad strokes, how close did they come to capturing the insanity of the first 3 days of live feeds?
I would say they probably got about 5% of it.
Can you give us the measurement in lightning bug lengths?
About half of a lightning bug.
Half of a lightning bug. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very, very wild first week of Frenchie's HOH. But I guess let's just, before we talk about the episode, what do we think about the new intro? Anybody catch your eye as having a interesting intro in the brand new updated intro for Big Brother 23?
Hannah, hands down. I loved her little rendition of some her own original TikTok dance. I spend way too many hours on TikTok, so it was just, it felt like home watching her. Mm-hmm. And you, I don't think we've ever seen someone do that. We always see a kiss. We always see the cross arm. We always see hands on the hip. We never have seen what Hannah is doing. So, mm-hmm. an originator.
Yeah. Taryn, have you thought about what you would do in the Big Brother intro if you were going to be in the house?
It would probably be my like my reaction to when somebody says something on a podcast.
What would you do with your hands? Where would your hands go?
I don't have hands. I don't know if you don't know this about me, but I actually exist from the torso up. So.
See the Taryn's torso Twitter account coming tomorrow. Yes, Mary.
For anyone not watching the video and you're wondering what facial expression Taryn might have made in that silence, it was basically just like a it was like the most nondescript facial expression.
I would want to go last too. Like I'd want everyone else to be like
yeah.
And I'd be like,
just be like
yeah, would really call attention to your lack of movement, how much everybody else is moving.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay.
Do you think that they let you do literally anything? Like if you're like, hey, I want to like bend down between my legs, like grandma bowling style. Like, would they just go with that?
I think that they probably say to you like, all right, this is your chance to like do something fun. And then you get to, I think, probably improv one. And if you sit in like, well, I don't know what to do, then they'll give you like, well, why don't you just do the hands in your pockets? Why don't you do like a turn around and say hi, blow a kiss. Like they'll give you a default one if you don't have one.
They'd for sure make me do
Yeah.
But they would try to make it seem original. Like, Taryn, what if you like put your hand up?
For those of you not watching the video, Taryn just did the coolest TikTok dance.
Yeah. It was very impressive. When Hannah gets out, really she's going to copy it. Yeah. Okay. So it was all about Frenchie tonight. And I felt like Asia, I thought that the show did go out of their way to bury Frenchie tonight. I feel like that for some, though, not enough burying of Frenchie.
Yeah, because, you know, they kind of like Mary pointed out in her awesome takeover tonight during the episode. They made him seem so, you know, they set him up to where they were making him seem so genuine and heartfelt and trying to connect with each person in the house, and then showed us how he did exactly the opposite of what he said he was going to do. But I'm like, yes, there was so much more that happened that they could have even gone even harder on Frenchie, but I think it's Frenchie, so we're going to see that. It's inevitable during his time in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of a couple clips at the end of a few people, Tiffany for one and Derek X for another, saying like, oh, he seems to be kind of going off the deep end a little bit. He's just listening at all these doors. I wanted to trust him, but now I don't know. But I think the real crux of the issue here is like, the audience, we saw him promising things and then going back on them and seeming to change his mind. But I think the people in the house, based on the structure of the game, like they don't know who's going to win power next week. I think they're not necessarily 100% out on him. He's definitely doing a lot of things that are making them question it. But even from that episode, I don't know how much they even can bury him because they don't know if he's going to be buried yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real slaughterhouse in there, and they've barely showed the half of it.
Well, Taryn, one question that I had today as I was thinking about this leading up to the episode. So in the house, that is the perception of Frenchie as negative as it tends to be on Twitter?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, people have definitely soured on him to a degree, but something that we've talked about in some of the live feed updates is that he still has power. At least it seems like he has power. He's the first person to have power. And there's, I think, this kind of desire in people to rationalize their existence in the power structure they exist in. And so when Frenchie does things that are absurd, you kind of adapt your reality to match that as much as you can. And so people have some amount of faith in him, even if it's slowly being stripped away.
Okay. So, yeah, we got a lot of Frenchy confessionals throughout this entire episode. As Mary mentioned, he talked about just how close he was to taking that offer from Julie on opening night.
I came about a lightning bug's length from the butt crack of a donkey to taking that.
Yeah, well, that's not even an expression, Frenchy.
No, no. I don't like that he's trying to
He's trying so hard.
I'm trying so hard.
And
I was actually pleased to see that a lot of the other Diary Rooms episode or Diary Room clips from tonight were a little bit more like old school kind of talking to the camera. There was less like, hey guys, how's it going? There were certainly a couple of those for sure. Mm-hmm. But some people like Aza and hers, she seemed like very normal, which I mm-hmm. like. Please, can we serve that? Like, I just want to know your thoughts. Everything doesn't have to be a line.
It's actually been talked about a little bit in the house. You know, enough of these players are fans that they already know that you're sort of like made to say things and they don't really want to be made to say things. And so I think my guess is that the producers are having a little bit more difficulty with this cast than in previous casts, just getting them to play ball. Especially somebody like Derek F, who was like, I'm not saying anything. If it's not me, I'm not saying it.
That being said, nobody told Frenchie to say that he came a lightning bug close to a donkey's butthole on night one. Nobody made him say that, Taryn.
I just don't even know how you put those words together. I know country sayings, but I'm even just trying to picture it. Like even some sayings you can picture. You're like, oh, okay, mm-hmm. I kind of see where they came. Like I wouldn't have thought of it, but I can see it.
It was a random word generator of Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it was like a B&B game. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, lightning bug, not B.
Okay. Yeah. True. Okay.
We also, I noticed immediately after, you know, listening to Frenchie on the live feeds for the last, you know, 4 days straight, I would personally say considerably more of an accent in his Diary Room sessions than in real life.
Absolutely. I was wondering that too. I was like, wait a second. This is not the Frenchie I've been listening to nonstop for the past 2 months. 4 days. But yes.
Yeah. All right. We got to see the thing that we normally would see in a regular Big Brother season on night one, everybody going around and doing some introductions. Anybody have any introductions that really stood out to you from everybody getting together in the living room?
We unfortunately missed Brent just causing the women to swoon over his foreign languages skills, which is one of the things that Frenchie referenced in terms of why he wanted to target Brent in the first place. He was such a meathead that would have power over the women because mm-hmm. they all had puppy dog eyes for his Italian.
Mm-hmm. Yes, from what we saw in his intro package was him listing pasta. So it was like he was making an inside joke to something that only the audience saw. But okay. I mean, he probably can actually speak Italian. That was my favorite was the Xavier like ching ching noise that they made every time a woman talked and they would just like flash to Xavier. And he'd be
yeah.
Like, ooh.
Yeah.
I was wondering where that was going.
Well, you're always going to have that for at least one person. But at first, I my notes say, huh, yeah. Interesting ching noise every time a girl speaks. And at the end, it was like, nope, it's just for Xavier.
Yeah. Xavier says that Operation Nomance is in jeopardy because there's so many attractive women in the house. Don't tell Frenchie.
He goes on to name Whitney, Hannah, Sarah Beth, Aza, oh, and especially Alyssa. Like, you're missing like two women. Might as well go for the rest of them. Mm-hmm.
Xavier is a natural in the diary, right?
It's very funny.
From get-go here, he immediately knows what he's doing, which is very good to see considering that I also think he knows what he's doing in the house.
Yeah. And I think that we were a little concerned that he might be just like a little too like straight and narrow and not loose enough in the house from like some of the stuff he was saying in the preseason. But he is really comfortable in the diary room. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. Okay. We get to Frenchie. Doesn't like meatheads. Doesn't like cocky attitude, does not like meatheads. They have muscles, and he, one thing is for sure, no meatheads. No meatheads in Frenchie's Alliance. Although, by the way, he did promise the first four people that got into the house safety already. So they're out. So even though Travis, technically a meathead, was also part of the first four people, so he's not in consideration to go up this week. Taryn, did we know Frenchie promised safety to the first four people to go into the house?
Yes. Yeah, we knew that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Frenchie is loves to promise safety for everybody. You know, he does not care for the meatheads.
I was kind of sad that that was the only part from the beginning, like during the comps or during that comp or that like the HOH or whatever it was from the first episode. I was kind of sad that that was the only part we got to see.
Yeah, we didn't flash back to anything.
There was I was hoping there was more. I'm sure there was some discussion that would have been essential to hear.
I wanted to see who lost it for Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to go back to the competition, because Christian was the one to push the button every time he walked away that the team's puzzle fell apart. But no, we don't know. That'll have to wait for a post-game interview or exit press. So, all right, we got the have-not room, it's jet skis, Mary.
There's like a bed that has two beds and it kind of wobbles.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some crates. The theming is very strong. I know exactly where this is supposed to be. Like, it's like a boat shack or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But my closest comparison, and this is going to strike home with somebody, is this is exactly like the room that in Princess Diaries, the guy tries to kiss her when her foot doesn't pop. Somebody knows what I'm talking about, except with fewer necks.
Her foot doesn't pop.
Yeah, you just got to watch the movie, Rob. You'll understand.
Is she okay?
You'll have a nice foot pop and kiss. It's all great.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the closest I can get. And now, I mean, I haven't been to Monte Carlo or Atlantic City or wherever this is supposed to be. But yeah, I don't know if that's like where this jet ski vibe also comes in. I don't know. Do you typically like go casino it up and then hop on a jet ski?
Monte Carlo is, you know, famously by the water. So is Atlantic City. So I don't know.
I don't know.
It just seems like
very different things. But yeah. Okay.
What's weird to me is that my association of jet skis is primarily with Survivor.
Mm-hmm. When Jeff Probst comes in.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. On the vote. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We also got to see Frenchie with Derek F. Final two deal. I mean, how are people making final two deals on the first night?
Yeah, this is typical Derek F, by the way, where he's like, the second I saw you, final two, I trust you with my life. Swear on my family. We are doing this. I will never say this to another person in this entire game. They've known each other for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
they are actually playing, and we see it in the episode. They're playing as if this game ends in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the amount of speed. And I worry for probably 15 out of 16 of these people in actually like knowing how to nurture relationships down the line. Cause just like they've promised so many people so many things early on. And, yeah, this is like the start of it.
I really hope that by the time we have the second HOH, basically everybody is going to kind of collectively scrap like half of what they did in this first week and just be like, you know what? It didn't count. We don't know what was happening there. It's fine. Let's go back to the real relationships we made, ignore all the slaughterhouses and just keep going.
Yeah. I think that a lot of this stuff that just like a lot of stuff goes to the wall and so let's see like how much of it actually sticks. You know, just throw a million alliances out there and see what actually lasts after the first week. But all right. So let's get into the real meal tonight. All right. Frenchie is in a room with a couple of the women. He is looking at the spy screen and tells, hey, everybody, guess what? I am the showmance killer. Don't get into showmance this season. I'm going to kill the The Showmances. Taryn, wasn't Kiefer already the Showmance killer from Big Brother Canada 9?
The duos, not necessarily just Showmances. Mm-hmm. Just call him the Grim Kiefer. but we're not calling him the French Fryer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he fries all of the Showmances. Yeah, he's anti-Showmance, and this I think is, you know, his Twitter roots showing. Even though, you know, the reality is that like, for as much as we say that the fan base doesn't like Showmances, the reality is that the vast majority of the fan base loves Showmances. and it's kind of like, you know, the niche part of it that's like, nah, we hate Showmances. But he exists in that part, and he's trying to live it.
Okay, so as long as you ladies don't get in a Showmance, you're fine, because he tells us...
Obviously, you guys know that, like, I refuse to nominate women this week.
Okay. No women on the block this week from Frenchie. You heard it here first. Okay. Now,
no woman will suffer from a Showmance. I'm going to go after the men of the Showmance only. It's just men, only men.
So we heard during the episode a couple of times, no women on the block, no women on the block. But in the reality, I believe the promise was no women on the block and also no people of color on the block. Yes. Taryn, were those two things always hand in hand?
The woman thing was more prevalent, but he definitely also did mention that he did not want to see a person of color on the block or going home because, you know, season 21 was just so frustrating for him to watch. And if he had been in that house, it would have been different. So
he also mentioned he wasn't going to put the old guy on the block, which I think is him
himself,
right?
Yeah. Yes. So had there been an older person than him,
yeah,
he would not have put them on the block.
Yeah.
Except unless he did.
Just interesting because, you know, that it, in an episode where they're, you know, seemingly going out of their way to make Frenchie look bad, seemed like it would have made him look even worse to say then also no people of color are going on the block and then also to nominate Kylan in the same episode.
Yeah, it was like conveniently edited out. Like it was specifically shaped around women. And I'm like, I feel like this, it should come up. Because I was just thinking, like, let me take a step back. Let me imagine I'm only watching the episodes. I would be so confused why Kylan's on the block. Like that came so out of left field. And then just the impact of how of much of an oxymoron, if that's even the word, Frenchie's HOH has been. It shows like, okay, he's going to do the exact opposite of what he says. Mm-hmm. And that would have just, I mean, that would have like put the nail in the coffin even more, but they chose to leave it out. I don't know why.
Yeah. And I do think that, you know, again, because the women thing was more prevalent, like he approached every single woman and said, I will not put you, you will not touch the block because you're a woman. He didn't do the same thing for the people, like he never went to Xavier and said, because you're a person of color, you're never going to touch the block. So that could have been part of the reason why they didn't include it. They didn't have as much like sort of physical evidence of it. But I think I agree. I think that it would have been better because it was really, when we saw these nominations, it was not just the, you know, betrayal of the one thing. It was truly a double, triple down on a failure to live up to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since the editing of the episode makes it seem like, I mean, you know, I don't really love the term meathead here anyway, because I think meathead implies more of a personality rather than just like anyone with athletic ability or muscles. But I guess maybe the edited show makes it seem like, oh, well, Kylan went up because he might be considered a meathead. So
right.
No, but he wasn't even on the meathead list. He said yeah, all right, the meathead's in the house.
Montage,
yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of, like, that if you're trying to, much in the same way Taryn talks about the people in the house, if you're an audience, you're trying to like rationalize what Frenchie's doing and make it make sense, then that might be the only thing that they would have said there. But I don't, yeah, it's in the reality of the situation, both people put on the block were very blindsided by the move in general.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see Frenchie talk to Alyssa, and he tells her, you are nowhere near my thoughts. Alyssa walks away from this feeling very comfortable with Frenchie.
Yeah, it was so just, it was for me, it felt so unnecessary with the fact that you know that there's like, you don't know what the season holds. So the fact that he went out of his way to promise basically 15 people safety, and then the, like, you know, what we're going to get into later, you know, the one person he would want to nominate can't be, like, it was so unnecessary. And then he said, okay, I don't want to nominate the usual suspects. Like, who would the usual suspects be in this situation, if he, you know, like, he's the oldest guy, who would they be?
Well, I think that the people that he's talking about, women, people of color, and I think that that's the usual suspects. He's not going to do that. Not on Frenchie's HOH.
Right.
And so his target is going to be Brent. And we're going to see a conversation with Brent. Taryn, for people who have not paid attention to the live feeds, can you just set up what was Frenchie's original plan for Brent?
Frenchie's original plan for Brent was, again, because Brent had control over 5 of the 8 women because they had puppy dog eyes when he spoke Italian, that's threatening. He's a meathead. He's got to go. He's going to steal the $750,000 from us. So what we're going to do is we're going to backdoor him. I'm going to ask him for help to write a nomination speech. And then when I nominate him in the veto ceremony, I'm going to use the nomination speech that he wrote for me to put him up on the block. It's going to be like Dan's funeral, but it's like Dan's funeral's the eulogy to Dan's funeral. You know, people don't have to call it that, but if they wanted to, we're going to kick the season off. It's not going to be a boring season because boom, we're going to make this happen.
And did Brent know who it was going to be a speech for?
He didn't get that far.
Mm-hmm. How do you write a speech for somebody if you don't know who it's for?
I don't know.
Plan, Rob. What? Stop trying to make it make sense.
Okay. It's just interesting. Just interesting that, you know, Frenchie had so many ideas coming in for the first week. But ultimately, Frenchie is going to get together with Brent, and he is able to then turn on the charm. And Brent opens up with it. He admires the passion that Frenchie has for his family.
It took all of one
turn
conversation.
Him around.
One conversation. I'm like, as hard as this man was going in on the fact that he was so set on Brent, and then just boom, this one, not even like a 4-hour, not even just like over dinner. Brent did nothing he didn't have to go out of his way to change Frenchie's mind, which mm-hmm. just shows like it takes nothing.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, Brent, he did a good job of it's good to talk about emotional, personal things. It's good to do this type of bonding in general in, you know, the first couple days. I don't think that he was necessarily like, oh, I've got this nefarious plan to make Frenchie like me and I'm going to mm-hmm. hit him, you know, in a certain spot. I don't really think that's necessarily what it was.
Yeah.
But Frenchie was just, it was like Frenchie was like, I just need Brent to come up and say anything nice to me and then I will change my mind on him. Oh, he did it. Perfect. Done. I think Frenchie just like was looking for a reason to like him. And I mean, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not Frenchie has any sort of, I don't know, thing in his life that would make him feel like this type of friendship or relationship would be very important or special or unique or different from any other friendship he's had, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of that kind of thing. But look, it's ridiculous to say that Brent has some like amazing, powerful charm. He's a charming dude, but this is not Dan Giesling. It's not a funeral. Throw it all away.
Well, in fairness to Brent, I mean, he did tell a very moving story about how his father had died by suicide and how that it was like such a thing that affected him. I don't think Frenchie was prepared for that, to have Brent like open up and be so vulnerable to him. So that's the part of this story that I didn't know in terms of like what Brent revealed to Frenchie.
And that's something that's like, on not just Big Brother, but lots of reality shows. Deep personal stories and personal connections are a great way. I don't want to like say use it, because it's, I don't necessarily think that Brent came in and like had a plan to do that. But it is a fact that even with people in your own life, you know, if you have like a bonding moment like that, that can mean a lot. The wild part for this was the fact that Frenchie went from hating Brent, wanting him up on the block, to this in the matter of minutes, like Asia said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and not to take away anything from Brent like that, I think that just shows, like, that's something he would have shared if anybody had been talking with family. And, you know, I don't think, like you said, Mary, I don't think in the moment he was thinking like, you're HOH, I need to be manipulative. But I wonder, moving forward, if now Brent understand, like, if he were to understand the full picture, like, okay, the key is to Frenchie's heart. That's it. All you have to do is appeal to him emotionally and you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So Frenchie learned a lesson, Taryn. Don't just judge a meathead by its cover. Okay. Important lesson learned.
Yeah. I mean, he said it himself that he was going around the whole first night talking about how you shouldn't judge him by the way that he looks. People expect him to not make promises to women and people of color. And look at him now. He is making promises to women and people of color. So you shouldn't judge him by the way that he looks. He doesn't, you know, do bad things like that. He would never make promises and go back on them or anything like that. He is somebody that you should not judge. You know, he talks about it. He's like, look, you know, there's a real problem that, you know, people, you know, they see you and they make assumptions about you and there are prejudices. And I'm talking about myself, of course. People expect me to be a certain kind of person. And I'm not that person. And here's why, because I'm promising women and people of color things. And so when he talked to Brent, he was like, oh, I can't believe I did that to you. Here I am preaching not to judge me by the way that I look, and I'm judging you by the way that you look. And I'm just so happy that these men can really bond over, you know, being unfairly treated.
All right.
Very important, Taryn. What's funny also about the way that Frenchie's doing this is by coming into the house and stating, like, I'm going to be loyal and honest. You guys know this about me. You've known me for 3 hours, you know that I'm a loyal and honest person. And I would never judge people by whatever. I'm going to make promises. You know that these promises are legit, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like laying that down and down and down. And because of that, when he goes back on them in such an obvious way, like telling all the women he's not going to put them up, putting one up, this makes everyone think, okay, I know that Frenchie is a loyal and honest person, but he did just do something he didn't say he would. So there has to be a logical reason, because I know Frenchie's a loyal and honest person. So let me go talk to him and see, oh, there must be a reason for this. Instead of, it's like they're trying to put a middle piece in there that doesn't exist. The answer is Frenchie promised something and he broke his promise. Case closed. You don't need to try and connect the red wires to try and find a way to make this have some sort of solution with the contradiction between what he said and what happened. Just agree that it's a contradiction and move forward with that. And I'm sure that at least some people do think that. We just haven't necessarily seen it yet.
Yeah, I would love for them to just take a second to say, like, okay, let me take a step back and realize I've known this guy for less than 7 days. I can't think that he is this honorable, never would break a promise, makes logical decisions type of guy. But for some reason, because they spend all of these hours together, they do believe that.
But I think it also, he's getting the benefit of people sort of like looking at him and judging him on a first impression, where that he's sort of like the, you know, country person who is the family man. And they're looking at him like he is like a Donnie, where he's like, okay, well, like Donnie wouldn't do that type of a thing. And so I feel like that they're feeling like, okay, well, there must be a good reason why these things are happening, as opposed to that, no, he's just like going back on his word and changing his mind and is not somebody that we could really rely on.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, again, I think that he has power. And so you don't want to believe that he's just out of his mind and could do anything, because that would be bad for you. And so coming to that realization, it's you have a little bit of like sort of emotional incentive to to sort of buy into when he gives you excuses of like, well, only because of this or only because of this person, only because I've heard this. You're like, okay. Yeah, it's easier to blame somebody that doesn't have power over me than to accept that, yeah, this guy that has power over me is could do anything at any point.
Tonight, we got to see the first ever wild card competition. We found out a little bit more about the selection and the rules in terms of how the teams got to pick their champion. Taryn, was there anything that got revealed to us tonight from the episode that we didn't already know from the live feeds?
Not really. We did see that they, you know, drew out of a bag to pick for one of the teams. And we know also that they are only allowed to compete once until all of the members of their team have competed. That's a sort of interesting wrinkle in the strategy, but we'll see if it actually ends up playing out.
Which sort of said to me that they're planning for this to go 4 weeks, but maybe if it's going really well, they'll let it go longer.
Yeah.
Or maybe, maybe if you're, if, you know, that I'm sorry, because it's also if you people are out of your team by the fourth week, then you will need to have somebody play again.
Exactly. So, you know, for instance, if somebody on Christian's team loses is evicted, then, you know, by the fourth week, at the very least, you know, Christian should be able to compete again in the competition.
Okay.
I wonder what they would do if, like, the next 4 weeks, it's just one team going out back to back.
Yeah. And somebody ends up being like the Stephanie LaGrosa of their team. They have to just compete every single week for safety in the wild card competition.
Right. I was wishing that there was a little bit more of a risk component to this. I mean, at least this week, it didn't
big
seem
risk,
like there
big
was
reward.
One. Yeah. I think the biggest risk here is like, if you go first, you have to wait potentially 3 more weeks before you can go again. I'm assuming the whole spin the wheel thing is going to change up every time. I think they said there's going to be a unique power wildcard decision that you'll make. So maybe some of those could have negative components. Didn't happen this week. I did think that it was pretty wild that they
wild card.
That they had the potential option for Christian to save his entire team. That seemed a little bit OP personally.
Well, see, I would have loved to see on the wheel. So there were 20 spots on the wheel. Basically, the percent chance that you would get all three members of your team safe was 10%. And then like 30% was to save two people. And then 60% was save, you know, one person. I would have loved to see another 10%, another two slots in there be you lose your safety. So you can choose whether or not you want to spin this wheel. There's a 10% chance you lose your own safety. But then, you know, a 90% chance that you save at least one member, additional member of your team. I think that would have made it a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's good. Yes. Lose a turn. Bankrupt.
Yeah. What would y'all have done? Would you have gone first to get it out of the way or just wait to see who gets HOH each week?
To go into compete in the wildcard competition?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really tell you what the competition was going to be, correct? Like, it was not like that you could match up like the skill set with the people who are on your team.
I think the move is if your team agrees with it, do the pick from a bag, because then you just have less pressure on if you don't win, you know, and it does, it is going to affect your team or potentially help them. Your team can't really like get mad at you like, oh, you volunteered, you seem so confident. The only exception to that is like if you pretty much 100% know you're going home that week. But that's what I would do.
It's tough because you don't, for this one, you didn't know ahead of time that members of your team could possibly be saved as well. And so there's not as much incentive to go ahead and be like, okay, I'll go for it because I could potentially get saved in the future, even if I don't compete. But I would say if you don't feel very confident, and not just that you've been told that you won't go on the block, because you could always, even if you don't have a Frenchie as the HOH, there's still a chance that by the time, you know, Monday rolls around, Tuesday rolls around in this veto ceremony time, that like that's a lifetime away in the Big Brother world. So, you know, unless you feel very confident about your relationship with the HOH, I would feel like, yeah, I kind of do want to compete in this first week when anything can happen. So much can change in a short amount of time. And if somebody else is competing and winning, then that's additional people that will be safe. And that leaves me as in a smaller pool of people that are vulnerable. So I feel like this is a decent place to play. You know, obviously the risk is, okay, what if I'm the one in danger next week? But that's a pretty small, you know, chance compared to the danger that you're in general in week one, in my opinion.
All right, let's talk about this wild card competition, because I want to see if I can understand the premise for what happened here. That we so there was a wild party that happened in
30 years
ago. Year 1988. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that at this party, a phone, a giant phone, keys, and a wallet were left behind after the party. And somebody is sleeping?
Yeah.
Is that what?
The
why?
Neighbors.
The neighbors?
Is that what they said?
Who didn't care about the. Like there was a party before.
Yeah, I just skipped all that and assumed it was like you have a bad hangover and you don't want to make.
Maybe that. Maybe that's it.
I'm sure it was a neighbor thing.
Yeah, they did. They showed other doors to show your neighbor. You don't want to disturb.
Will.
Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah.
Will
famously does not like loud noise. So then the contestants had to go through. Asia, what were they wearing?
I'm not quite sure, because it's funny because when I saw Kylan go, it didn't really faze me. But when I saw Christian come out in the fishnets, because I'm assuming you leave the party. Oh, shoot. I realize I forgot all these things. I'm going back. So this is actually something they would have worn to the party is what they're trying to tell us. I mean, I guess they're trying to say that's what people wear in the 80s.
Well, was this party in the past or was it in the future, Mary?
Why were there towers of cans right by the doors? I don't know. Why were there bells and marbles in the sink? This is not even like if they put so much more effort into this party than they did into the have not room. And that's just still where I'm hung up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, I think what happened is that, they left their clothes in the dryer and they shrunk a bit too much. And so they had to wear those. And then like on the way back to the party, they stopped in at like a capture the flag game and they threw them some, some of those like pennies and they put those on and they were playing capture. And then they forgot about it because they were
classic
so hungover.
Fishnet pennies for
yeah. And so
game.
Then, with their shrunken clothes and the capture the flag things on, they came into this place and they forgot that they had set a trap for people coming in when they were drunk. Everything else, we saw.
It was very Swiss Family Robinson trap.
And they had to go through and get the giant phone off of the table. Again, I don't know why we needed to have the Zach Morris cell phone as the object to take out of the champagne flukes.
Did these exist in the 80s?
I don't know.
I mean, wasn't it like phones in cars by the late 80s? But I feel like I don't know if these existed in the 80s. I wasn't alive then, so I wouldn't know for sure. But I've seen a lot of 80s movies and TV shows.
Yeah. Hannah had this to say about the challenge, which I think also can double for Frenchie's HOH.
Messy. A mess. Disgusting.
Yeah.
That's a good one to keep around.
Yeah, I'll save that. We could save that. Ultimately, we're going to see Christian's the only person who completes it in under the 5 minutes. He goes on to win the wild card competition, gets to spin the wheel, and Frenchie's HOH has gone.
Put it in a casket.
Yeah.
Rob,
it's
I can tell
the donkey's butt crack.
Yes.
Well, this is what happens when it's your first HOH. You promise like 90% of the house safety and you only have a few options left, knowing that there's going to be a wild card competition. Your first HOH is the time to basically put anyone up and be like, well, you didn't talk to me that much. Or like, oh, you want a competition. You don't want to box yourself in a corner. You do want to make alliances and that kind of thing. But you don't need to like promise everyone in the house safety where you're going to automatically have to go back on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's week one. No one should be as stressed as Frenchie is. I swear this man, he acts like if he gets out the right person that that America's voted on, he wins the $750,000 come Thursday. Like, that's how stressed he is that the one person he wanted to put up can't be put up.
He's on the old island. He is day 99. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. He's gone all the way to the end. He does appear after the wildcard competition to be on tilt. Taryn, in the real time, is that really where it seemed like that there was a screw loose with Frenchie? Was he doing okay before the wildcard competition?
No.
Yeah.
That, before the wildcard competition was the eulogy to Dan's funeral. I would never nominate a woman or a person of color. Oh, but now I am in love with Brent. From get go was when the screw was loose.
Okay, because it seems like that now he is spiraling based on what we saw in the TV show. Even Travis, who had a very quiet episode, says, this guy is lost in the sauce. Came in here, didn't even go to the bathroom.
I don't even know what that means, because last I checked, the sauce was the isosceles triangle from Big Brother Canada 9. So I
and
yeah,
Frenchie the showman's killer.
Yeah, Frenchie got lost in that.
He got lost in that.
Double, triple the showman's. It was too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Frenchie, he is, as Tiffany says, that he is on his HOH job, walking around this house trying to break up all these conversations.
And he's not smooth about it at all. Like, when he was in the bathroom, at least go in the stall. No one's proving that you do anything in there, but like, play it off. Like, even when Tiffany opens the door, he walks in, walks out, and he's like, did y'all say something? Mm-hmm. Walks back out. He's not even smooth about it.
No.
Is that next level strategy to, like, after someone leaves, walk into the stall, like, I don't know, check if the seat's warm?
Wow.
Is the water still moving?
That's how you end up with Enzo spritzing the water. I wonder if they still have I haven't heard anyone talk about the bidet in there. I don't wonder if they took it out.
I have a feeling they took it out.
Yeah. Probably not. Yeah, because someone said Tiffany wanted
that's
it.
That's the spritz of water.
Yeah.
Never gets old.
No, it's Bear. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, a bidet is Frenchie. So, would be appropriate this season.
Not the foreign languages. Frenchie will get on that.
I need to say, though, when they showed Frenchie eavesdropping in on the conversation and Tiffany walks in, that was way cooler on Tiffany's part than they gave credit for in the episode. He was trying to listen in on genuinely an alliance that, you know, didn't really go anywhere, forming, and he was there for like 20-30 seconds before Tiffany recognized that there was a shadow underneath the door.
Wow.
And went to go bust him, and then just pretended that she was walking out and he pretended that he was walking in. It was a cool moment that they, it's weird that they showed it but didn't give it a little bit of extra context.
Yeah,
because props goes to the group that was talking too, to keep talking. Because normally, if you think someone's at the door, everyone pauses to kind of check. But the fact that they kept talking, Frenchie didn't even hear Tiffany get up. But the chat is confirming that the bidet is there, that Tiffany acknowledged it.
Okay.
So,
yes, I'm permanent glad. Part of the house now.
I will say I bought a bidet after season 22. Not going to lie.
Yeah. For that reason?
For that reason.
Okay.
No, that's not because of Enzo.
That's a spritz of water.
A big Kaser talked it up so much. You know, he's the one requested it. So I was like, you know what? I looked into it. It's
civilized society.
Yes. Okay. There you go. Boy, Enzo should have got a sponsorship.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
It's just a bidet advertisement with the quote on the bottom in cursive. It's a spritz of water.
That's a spritz of water.
Come on down to the Bayonne bidet factory already.
Door-to-door bidet salesman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He can do crayons, he can do bidets.
Now look, okay, yeah, Tiffany is good. She can see shadows underneath the door. But Frenchie's observant too, Asia. Don't take anything away from him, because don't forget he's the showman's killer. And he's noticing Christian and Alyssa in the kitchen. He has his arm around her. They're laughing. Ha! Showmance.
That's where Frenchie has it all wrong, because he even said earlier, like, oh, these people can they can meet each other, but game time for me. I'm like, you can look at them and see, okay, maybe that's some playful flirting, but showmance, that's strong, like, especially like day two. But yeah, just to be wrong and then be loud and wrong is just considerably it's worse. But he's just like so confident. And I mean, Taryn talks about that plenty on the live feed updates, but just Frenchie, man, I can't with him.
Yeah.
I think we should have expected this more, you know, again, Frenchie coming from the Twitter sort of stan community, notorious for shipping these communities. And they often see connections that may not exist. And so he's very primed to
it's good observation to notice that they seem to be getting along, like two humans can get along. It's quite a big jump to go, okay, they're getting along, it must be super flirtatious, it must be exclusive to the two of them, it must be a showmance, and therefore it must on day three or whatever be an alliance. Because I mean, most showmances in Big Brother eventually turn into alliances or have moments of alliances. There are certainly some that don't. So you don't even need that. But the fact that he then goes on to question Alyssa and she's like, he thinks she's lying and she just doesn't even have any clue what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Which is the worst part.
Well, he doesn't like the damn game telephone. Okay. So just tell me, do you have an alliance? Has anybody approached you?
In the most public way, like you couldn't like, yeah, it was like a group of eight people. You might as well have the whole house there. What are you doing? How are you just publicly? It just feels like someone who watches the show and someone who knows the game of Big Brother would know, just don't do that. Not only is it a bad look, but just do it one-on-one if you are truly concerned if someone has approached you with an alliance. But it was just, even if she had, she wouldn't say yes in that situation with all those people.
I can read her like a book.
Like a book.
I can tell she's lying.
Yeah.
That's not his accent. You got to have a lot more country twang in it for that.
I'm not going full Frenchie. That's not
too early. It's too soon to go full Frenchie.
The other thing about the telephone is like, it's wrong on both accounts in that if he is a Twitter fan, he should realize that Twitter loves messy gameplay and loves to see that, you know, people speaking telephone and having plotting against each other. It would be an extremely boring game if everybody just openly went into a room of eight people and was like, here's the plan, here's everything, here's my offenses, whatever day. But not to mention that, it's also the fact that he is the one doing telephone. He just makes stuff up and tells people constantly like it's fact, or picks up little bits of observations and then states them like they're fact and passes them around. Mm-hmm. So clearly the rules do not apply to everyone in that
room.
He
is making the call. He's not hearing something from somebody else and then repeating it to somebody. He's not relaying the telephone call.
That's worst game of telephone. It starts bad. It starts wrong.
He's playing telephone with his imaginary friends is what's happening. He's getting phone calls from people that don't exist and then relaying them via phone call to the house guests.
I just wish I spoke that confidently about things. Like Rob, I always see you behind a mic, right? So you don't do anything else. Like, I know that. Like, okay, don't lie to me. I know that you are only behind a mic.
No, 24/7. That's not true.
But I know. It's a fact.
Why is he lying to us, Asia?
I have no idea. We need more people to come in on this.
We can tell. It's clearly a fact. Have you ever seen him outside of this little box? No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
absolutely not.
But that's what I've been in the last couple of days.
Rob, you're embarrassing yourself.
You really are.
Oh my God. I felt bad for Alyssa also because she's starting to sort of get a little panicky and she definitely doesn't want to be the first boot because it would be hard for her outside the house.
My friends will not be my friends anymore if I leave week one.
Boy, Alyssa has horrible friends.
This is the new, make the merge be dateable, I guess.
I mean,
lose all your friends if you're first out.
Do you think
Did
her
she
friends?
She mean the friends outside the house?
Yeah.
Or did she mean like the people inside? Like, I can't make friends with these. I'm never going to talk to them again if I'm out week one.
Like, are they just all Big Brother super fans? Like, Alyssa, we will never talk to you again. If you are first out,
yikes.
You have embarrassed us.
And if that's the case, I want to know who these people are because that's awesome that her friends are all Big Brother super fans. Like, I wish all my friends were Big Brother super fans. That would be great.
We put all our money on you in the stock watch and you blew it.
Exactly. She's clearly talking about, people like us who would be her friend. But if she's first out, come on, we're not going to go that low.
No way.
Which is worse, to have all of your friends not talk to you anymore if you get voted out first week?
Would you rather
be Derek X, who's going to get kicked out of his house if he's not allowed to come home unless he wins?
Yeah, that's true. Would you rather have no friends or no family? Yeah. I guess.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Make more friends, I guess.
Okay. So time for the nomination ceremony. We saw Asa say that, okay, well, no women are touching the block. That's good, right? I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do, but we do know what he's not going to do. So we should be good.
Yeah.
Exactly. Asa, his teammate. Mm-hmm. doesn't know anything he's going to do.
Yeah. Okay. Frenchie's nominations. One. Kylan. The viewers basically got the same treatment we got when we saw from the live feeds. Wait, what? No hint of Kylan. His name, other than being in the competition, was not even mentioned as a possibility.
This is actually even more sort of baffling with the context, which is that Kylan was one of the closest people to Frenchie in the days before the nomination ceremony. There's a whole situation that we may end up getting into in future episodes that kind of led to this, but it was still quite the blind side for pretty much everyone involved.
Okay. Nominee number two, Alyssa. Here's why.
Last night I had a dream that I went fishing. And in order to catch a big fish, you have to have the perfect bait.
Wait, what?
Hey, Rob, that was the best nomination speech I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, what?
I think that's what Frenchie thinks we're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Now, did he actually have a dream or is he just sort of being he's taking artistic license?
I'm pretty sure this man doesn't sleep. So.
Right.
And based on the clip we get after this with Alyssa, she clearly thinks that he was implying that she is the big fish and that something he talked to her about prior was the bait. I think my impression was she's the bait for a big fish, except the only logical big fish there would be Christian, who's not eligible. So then in that case, which, I mean, we know it's not right, so we would assume that it's some other potential meathead, which we basically have narrowed it down to only being Travis. And at that point, where's the relationship between Alyssa and Travis? How is she the perfect bait?
I don't think you're understanding how fishing works, Mary. when you go fishing, what you do is you take the bait, and sometimes you get the perfect bait. You take that bait, and you go, yes, I'm going to use this bait to catch the big fish. And you take it and you throw it in the garbage can.
Uh-huh.
That's how it works.
See, I'm used to having these kind of reactions when I watched my scripted content, Riverdale. I'm not used to this from my reality TV.
Mm-hmm. Well, neither is Alyssa, who had this reaction to these nominations.
What's going on, Frenchie? What are you thinking?
Yeah, which I thought maybe was a great homage to the Joe Schmo show, as discussed on the last RJP Rewind.
What is going on, Frenchie?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you had the clip.
But... No, no. That's the illicit version. Yeah. Okay. Nobody knows what's going on. It was a wild
Frenchie
episode,
doesn't
too.
Know what's going on.
Frenchie doesn't Frenchie know what's no going idea. On. And that's where we leave it there for episode number two. Let's take some questions, and then let's talk about some spoilers from the live feeds here tonight. But anybody else have anything from the second episode of the show?
Just that the from Frenchie at the end there said the reason Kyland was going up is because he trusts him and wants someone on his side for the veto, which, you know, could theoretically be a thing if he had spoken to his ally about that potential possibility beforehand. Mm-hmm. It's not a great way to just blind someone with that and be like, yeah, you're blindsided, but it's because I trust you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ideally, you want to keep people in the loop.
I do want to say, you know, obviously we're pointing out things that the episode may have missed or, you know, things that weren't put in. There was a lot to cover. I liked the episode. I think the competition went a bit longer than it needed to, and we probably could have fit some really good stuff in if it hadn't gone so long. But beyond that, it was a great episode, and I was still very, very you know, happy watching it.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually really liked the comp. Yeah, I did go a little long, but I liked the uniqueness of the comp. I thought it was a good idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take some questions from the listeners. Of course, Rob is website.com/BBQuestions to send your questions in for the show. Kelly in Connecticut says, when your team wins and you're safe, are you able to win the next HOH comp or is just the winner not eligible to be HOH again? I don't think we have clarity on that, but I would imagine just the HOH winner.
Yes. Everybody that, so whether it's HOH or wildcard, only the person who played in the wildcard can't compete next time. And in regards to the HOH, only the person who won the HOH will not compete in the following HOH. Everybody else will compete.
Okay. Christian asks, what is the best profession to have, to pretend to have on Big Brother? Voice actor is pretty good. I imagine you guys have a couple of great takes. Okay. Do you have to be able to back that up in terms of voice actor? Can Sarah Beth do that?
I think you do have to back it up, right? Because my experience with voice actors is that if you know voice actors and you're just kind of hanging out and you're bored, you're probably going to be like, oh, do the voices for us. Like, do this, do that. And like most voice actors, they have those like ready to go. Mm-hmm. So unless she's like really prepared, it's kind of one of those things where you actually have to, you might actually be put to the test.
Although she did say that she does ASMR. So
I think she was actually, I was impressed to see that she was specific enough with a couple different options that did not imply that she did impressions. Mm-hmm. Saying that she did a couple voices on some video games, it could be her normal-ish
independent voice, video games.
Right. Yes, yeah. Independent, because she's going to make up some names that do not exist. Mm-hmm. Probably. And then the like ASMR and like sleep audio or something, I think was what she said. Like, sure, that could be passable. I think the issue with that is voice actor is a cool, like, a neat profession to talk about, but I'm not sure how in depth you're going to be able to get into that and like how much connecting you're going to be able to make out of that. I mean, I think they're like, ideally you would just have a profession that's good to have and you don't have to lie about one. Like, if you are a elementary to high school teacher, that's pretty good. I think that's a pretty good one. If you start going into the range of like professor, it might get a little bit mm-hmm. more intimidating. But if you're like a school teacher and you can talk about your students and I don't know, stuff like that, like I feel like that would be pretty good. There's a lot of things that people think are scary professions. I think if you like the forensic biology or whatever it is that Sarah actually does, I think there's a way she could have stated that without making it sound intimidating and then still be able to have conversations about what she does that are more genuine.
I think it's the forensic part that is
just that.
I'm a chemist. Like, okay, like, that's all like Rachel Riley.
I think there's ways where you can talk about it without doing that. Like, I think sometimes I know based on like interviews and talking to certain people, there's a way to make my job sound very impressive. And then there's the realistic, actually what I do.
I wish there was a way to make my job sound impressive.
Yeah. Right. I think that people really, because I think in our society, sort of like your job does tend to define you in other people's eyes a decent amount, whether or not it should. And so people expect that to happen in the Big Brother house. In fact, they expect it to happen even more with even more exaggeration. But the reality is that Big Brother operates on its own as its own society. And in Big Brother, you're not actually doing that job, and your job doesn't matter. Everybody comes in on equal footing. The thing that makes it unequal becomes your social capital in the game, your ability to win competitions, and what you do in a different society, in a different world, isn't really going to matter at the end of the day. And what we see is that people like Hannah, who goes in lying about, you know, her level of schooling and whatever, she's considered to be extremely smart. They're very nervous about how smart Hannah is. Somebody like Xavier comes in hiding the fact that he's a lawyer. They still think this guy's super savvy. This guy's definitely a threat to win this game. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like you can hide your profession, but you can't hide who you are. So I don't think it matters. And I think having the ability to talk about what you do and open up in that way is more valuable to you than hiding this, you know, this thing that ultimately won't matter, because how people perceive you in the game is what's going to matter the most, and they won't really care that much about your job.
Yeah, I think if you're going to lie about your profession, I think the key is to do something, to say you're doing something boring enough that people aren't going to ask a lot of questions. So if you say you're a voice actor, that's actually very interesting. I feel like people will continue to ask her about that. But if you say you're like a dog walker, it's so easy to make up stories about that, mm-hmm. you know, if people do ask, but it's like not enough where people are going to be asking you once a day, like, okay, tell me about that one dog you said you walk on Saturdays. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's skip ahead to some spoilers from the live feeds, because I think that that's what people want to hear about. So we'll come back. Well, there's more questions at the end if we still have time. So we're going to get to our live feed spoilers. But first, let me just thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at BetterHelp Online Therapy. As we begin to see the light at the end of this COVID tunnel, a lot of people are still feeling down and emotionally out of sorts. You may not feel depressed or at a total loss, but if you're feeling a little bit off or your relationships are suffering, that could be a sign you should talk to somebody. And whether you're feeling anxious or struggling in your career, if you're having trouble sleeping, online therapy can help. Visit betterhelp.com/RHAP and fill out a questionnaire to help BetterHelp assess your needs and match you with a professional, licensed therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours via secure weekly video, phone, or even live chat sessions with your therapist. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great matches, so it's easy and free to change counselors if you need a better fit. Online therapy is convenient and more affordable than in-person therapy, and our listeners get 10% off their first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/RHAP. That's betterhelp.com/RHAP. And also, thanks to our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work, but you know, it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy, and it's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see what you'd save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler.
I gotta find the buzzer. I don't know. I haven't unpacked it since I moved. Action should be taken. Yes! Okay. All right. Talk about some updates from the live feeds from a busy weekend. All right. It was Friday night that we got the nominations. We had the veto over the weekend. And so, Taryn, what's going on with the power of veto?
Okay. So, Kyland and Alyssa on the block. Alyssa is the initial target. That is going to change within the hour after the nominations happen, as Alyssa questions Frenchie about, like, why did this happen? And he explains that she's the perfect bait for the big fish, which is Christian. And she's like, who? Like, why? And he's like, don't lie to me. I know that you're basically a thing. And she says no. And she gets Christian to come in, and they both explain to him, we are not a thing. We're on a team together. That's it. He has no like he has nothing to explain himself with. So instead, he blames it all on Derek X. He says, well, Derek X has been in my ear about all kinds of stuff and so on and so forth. And it's really all Derek X's fault. And the reason why it's all Derek X's fault is because Kylan threw Derek X under the bus the day before. This is a whole other story that would probably take too long to tell right now. But he had gotten in trouble slightly before, and he admitted to the fact that like he had been talking about trying to get Frenchie to nominate Brent instead of himself. And because he admitted to something, he's now at fault for everything. And so Frenchie is now saying to Alyssa to appease her, don't be mad at me. It's all Derek X's fault. And here's what we'll do. I'll take care of this problem for us. I'm going to backdoor Derek X. And so Derek X becomes the new target.
Okay. Derek X, who was barely in the episode.
He was barely on the feeds. he barely did anything.
We saw him in the bathroom with Travis, and that was it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the harder things the episode had, was there was quite a lot of, not things that Derek X actually did, but a lot of talk about Derek X, and it's kind of hard to show that when Derek didn't actually do anything.
Yeah. So, we get to the veto ceremony, and lucky Derek X is drawn to play in the veto and goes on to win it. So Derek X has now won the power veto. He will not be touching that block. However, he does like Kylan. He's an ally of Kylan's, and he feels like in order to win his way back into the good graces of the house, he needs to do what Frenchie wants him to do, which is use the veto in order to backdoor somebody, because he's already promised Kylan and Alyssa that he didn't really intend on targeting them and doesn't want to target them. And so the only person left is the only meathead left in the house, and that is Travis. And despite the fact that Derek X is close to Travis, he feels like winning the favor of the house is more important to him than keeping that ally in the game. And so he does intend on using the veto on Kylan. Travis is the likely replacement at this point, and he is also the person most likely to be sent home on Thursday. So after everything, a meathead is going home.
Okay.
Against Frenchie's will, to a degree.
Yeah, with Frenchie, though, I can very well imagine Wednesday night, Frenchie is going hardcore to keep Travis in the house. Like talking to every single person for hours on end, because his boy Travis has to stay. He can't do it. He can't send him home after to put him up.
Yeah, just wait until Travis has a conversation with Frenchie about his puppy that he's very fond of.
Does Travis know he's going to go on the block tomorrow, Taryn?
He has an idea. He's definitely concerned, but he's not really like fighting super hard at the moment. He kind of knew that, it was going to come down to whether he or Derek X won that veto. And
right.
The fact that Derek X won it, he was like, ah, crap. But he hasn't really been like told explicitly, like, you're going up, you're going home. I expect we'll see a little bit more fight from him in the future.
I also feel like I haven't heard anything about Travis being in the house from the live feed updates or even on Twitter. I mean, how is Travis doing in the house?
Well, his closest ally is Derek X also, which is kind of frustrating. Is that realistically, you shouldn't be scared of Frenchie, because Frenchie's reign's about to end. And from Derek's perspective, it's hard because he likes Alyssa and he likes Kylan too. But I know Taryn mentioned it this morning, like, You don't want to just sort of agree to help them in order for Travis to leave when that's not good for you either. So,
but do people like Travis?
Honestly, nobody really dislikes Travis. He hasn't really done anything to anyone, except for, Brent has kind of been pushing Travis, but not because he doesn't like Travis specifically. So Brent is under the assumption that Travis is the one that convinced Derek X to say that Brent should go up on the block. He thinks that, Brent was essentially, or that, that Travis was like the serpent in Derek X's ear, that talked him into all of this, betrayal nonsense. Brent is very, very much this, like, you have betrayed me. You are dead to me. You must grovel at my feet to make it up to me kind of guy. And So there's beyond Brent, there's really nobody who's pushing Travis hard, and nobody dislikes Travis. They just, you know, he is who he is, and people would rather it not be them. And he, you know, he seems like a strong competitor. So let's go.
Do we think it's looking like a potentially a 13-0 vote against Travis on Thursday night?
Not necessarily. Travis does have his supporters, you know, potentially Derek X included, his team. So, you know, some people like Kylan as well. So he does have some people in his corner, but Alyssa at the moment has more people in her corner.
Okay. Anything else noteworthy from Sunday on the live feeds?
It's been a slower day today. Things have calmed down a little bit. You know, that as things have settled, we're kind of in a cooling off period, and we'll see. I expect there'll be some campaign nonsense happening post veto. And maybe even leading up to the veto, we may see Frenchie start to change his mind if he talks to Travis at all. But today has been a little bit quieter.
Okay. Mary or AJ, anything else that you want to highlight from anything from the feeds?
I just want to say that, like, this season kind of felt like with season 22 happening and how it went, it felt like I was really excited for the season. So it was kind of like when you're like on a roller coaster and you're going up and you're so excited because you know what's coming, and you're expecting the best and you're expecting entertainment and excitement. And then you actually go down to do the first
decline.
Yeah, the first drop. And I feel like it's given me everything I wanted. I was rightfully excited. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for the season. It's everything about Big Brother that I love, like good feeds and people are just all over the place and you don't know what's happening. It's not predictable. And so I'm loving it so far. And it honestly does feel like it's been on for a while. So it's going to give us a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just hope it stays on this trajectory.
Yeah.
I feel very similarly to Asia. Like I think we're probably still potentially speaking too soon because we're at the point now where sometimes in previous seasons we don't even have the feeds yet, mm-hmm. or we've just gotten them. And so maybe it's just like new season-itis or something and the beginning where I'm really excited because everybody still seems all shiny and hasn't disappointed me yet. But overall, I'm still like really, really excited about this season. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So far, so good. I mean, we're 5 days in. Not too many complaints. All right. Let's take a couple more questions. This is from Kyle. If the wheel landed on 3, 8 people clear the HOH would be safe for the week before the veto comp. Is that too many? I mean, probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's absolutely too many.
I mean, but it would have been funny to see Frenchie have to scramble. This is from Safira. Do you think that Alyssa / Christian is genuinely interested in working with Brent and Frenchie in the future?
I that's going to depend on who wins it. I think whoever wins HOH next week is going to, and we talked about this morning, but really set the tone for where the season goes. Because if somebody like a Brent or Whitney win an HOH, then I think we will see a solidification of whoever it is that they want to bring in. And I think that Brent will have a more coherent, you know, sort of strategy and structure if he wins. You know, if we have something else, if we have a Derek X win or, you know, even like, I don't know, like an Aza, even though she plans on throwing it, unfortunately, win, then I could definitely see sort of like a distancing, don't come after us. I mean, look at what Frenchie has done. There's not real loyalty there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely think that if Christian or Alyssa also won, I think that they at the very least would say, Frenchie, maybe we'll work with you, but you need to start like giving us some reason to, and you don't have any power anymore. We're not just going to agree with whatever you say.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a couple more. Dan B, when will we start finding out about the alliances? Are they worried to tell us about some in case they fail?
Honestly, probably. There are a lot of alliances that come and go in the first few days and in the first week. You know, also, we don't like to say the A word. So that's another thing. Mm-hmm. But I think there are a couple that they can talk about. And I expect that we'll see some of those on Wednesday, specifically the whole mess that is the slaughterhouse / butchers, as well as potentially the cookout. Although that is so under the radar right now that they could theoretically save it for later if that's what they chose to do. But I definitely expect to see some slaughterhouse business on the Wednesday episode.
Okay.
And then at every eviction, Julie's going to be like, there was an alliance that was running the entire house.
No, it doesn't
name count. All 11 people.
Okay. The RHAB Archives wants to know, do you think that every season has a wild first week and we just don't get to see it because we never get this first week live feeds? Or is this season unique in that regards? Well, last season we saw the first week and it wasn't that wild.
Yeah. Yes. I think when they have a wild first week, usually you can kind of tell within the next couple of weeks that a lot of stuff changed, a lot of stuff went down. But like I'm sure Taryn was about to say, sometimes if you have a very, very stable first HOH and first week, then it's not a wild first week. And that's why it tends to air towards more of a dominant season.
You know, as we've been talking about this a lot over the weekend, Taryn's idea about a wild first week is going to lead to a wild season, that I do wonder, you know, how much week two impacts that. Because I think back to Big Brother 19, where Cody had like an insane first HOH week, which ultimately culminated, I believe, in the house gifting Paul the second HOH. And then that sort of like stabilized things. Okay, this is Paul's show the rest of the way, and that was the rest of the season. I wonder, like, could we have some HOH in week two that's really going to set a much different tone for the rest of the season?
It definitely could be that way. I would say to that, you know, the wildness of the first week of Big Brother 19 was a sort of forced wildness because of all of the extraneous circumstances that led to Cody nominating like five or six different people. Whereas this one is purely on Frenchie. And you could say that, you know, like, oh, Christian got safety and that changed things. But like, if he had gone through with the backdoor of Christian, that also would have been wild. And it also would have, he probably would have talked to Christian and been like, oh, maybe I shouldn't now. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I think, you know, but I do agree that a week two with a strong player at the helm of it who understands that they need to build a structure in their own direction and can do so calmly could really stabilize the house and pull it all toward one direction, because this was so destabilized that it has left a vacuum of power for the second HOH to come in and essentially be have a little bit of that pseudo first HOH power rub off on them and have the ability to potentially move things in their favor. So in regards to the question, though, is every first week like this? I think that last season was a bit of an exception. You know, a lot of those players were like, why is nobody talking gay? Like, this is not what it was like the first time. And it was because everyone was so scared to open up. But then we did see it start to open up. And we also had a very strong player at the helm at that time. There have been previous seasons where I expect that there was probably a lot of nonsense that went down that we never saw. But this does seem particularly nonsensical. So, you know, who knows?
All right. And then one last question we'll do. Jacob, Taryn, after 4 days of feeds, are you happy or disappointed that you were the alternate and get to play in the season?
You know, it's, I'm always happy to be here with you guys and talk about it all. I'd feel very lonely in that house, having to do live feed updates, alone in a room.
Would you have made the meathead list, Taryn?
I don't know. yeah, probably not, right?
You've been going hard in the gym, right? So
how can we know? We only see your torso. We have no idea.
Yes. Exactly. Well, that's why I probably wouldn't. I don't have enough actual meat.
Mm-hmm.
No, Taryn did a takeover and he showed him pumping some iron. So
yeah.
Meat had potential.
Okay. Uh-oh. All right.
All right. I got to stay away from Frenchie.
Watch out. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what else is coming up here. Unless, does anybody else have anything about tonight? Okay. Let's talk about what's coming up tomorrow. We've got the first outing of The Slop. I like how Taryn says it. We're going to be talking about all of the nonsense of Big Brother 23, things that are too stupid from the live feeds to talk about on any of the podcasts, things going on from the Big Brother alumni and much more. If you see slop happening, go to robswebsite.com/getsloppy. We'll be on the lookout. Maybe we'll start a Twitter thread as well for things to cover on The Slop. Do that live on Mondays around 6 Eastern every week. And that is a patron-only podcast, The Slop. Then, in the morning, oh, look at this. Maggie Morgan joins Taryn on day 6. Or to talk about day 6.
Day 6 is, yeah, that's not...
It will be day 6. You'll talk about day 5.
Yes, we'll get that right.
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Okay. All right. So check that out. 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 a.m. Pacific. Okay. The first BBU roundtable of the season is coming up on Tuesday night. That's going to be with Taryn, Melissa, and Amon on Tuesday night. And we will get the first prices for the Stockwatch.
Yes, I would like to remind everyone that the last time Amon was on the round table, he ate a chapstick. So we'll see what shenanigans we get into this season. But it should be a lot of fun. We'll kick off the Stockwatch and, we'll have some fun.
Okay. All right. Be on the lookout for that on Tuesday night of this week. And then on Wednesday, it's going to be, we'll be back after the veto episode. We'll be back with Taryn and Sasha Joseph and Grace Leader on Wednesday night. That's going to be again at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that. If you missed it on Friday, we had the first BBQ&A. It was very fun on Friday. Taryn and I were live right after the shocking nominations of Kylan and Alyssa on Friday afternoon. The patrons got to call in, ask their questions live. It was a very fun hour, went by very quickly. It was so good. I put it in the main feed. If you want to get a sense of what we're doing over on the patron podcast feed, that show is going to be on Friday afternoons. We'll try to time it for when we expect the feeds to be down for the nominations, or we'll come as close as we can get on Fridays. You get that in our patron podcast feed at robinswebsite.com/patron. And of course, this week, don't forget about the Survivor. Oh, no. Because, of course, on Tuesday of last week, I talked about the 13th best season of Survivor. If you've not been checking out Rob's podcast, because it's not Big Brother season, you've missed the Survivor Top 40 season countdowns, where we've been counting down from 40 to 1, the best Survivor season of all time. Last week, talked about Survivor Borneo, the 13th best season, with David Bloomberg and Mel Hulst. And then on Tuesday night, it's going to be Millennials versus Gen X with Kirsten McInnes and Asia Welch. Asia, how far are you in the rewatch?
I only have the finale and the reunion.
You are way ahead of me, Asia. You are way ahead of me.
It's such a good rewatch. I forgot how much I love this season. Like, I knew I loved it, but then watching it again is just like, oh, so refreshing.
Yeah,
can't wait to talk about it.
It's been fun. We will talk about that on Tuesday night. So be on the lookout for that. The 12th best season of Survivor, Millennials versus Gen X. And as I mentioned before, we talked about the Joe Schmo show.
My friends will not.
Oh, wrong Alyssa clip. This one I wanted.
What is going on, Frenchie?
Yeah, that's we talked about with Chappelle and Melissa Denny. I watched the entire first season of Joe Schmo Show for that podcast. Taryn, you were right. It was wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wild show.
Honestly, too. Second season, kind of worth watching. Third season, take it or leave it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm you know, considering it, watching the second season. I heard from a couple of people second season is very good also. So
I liked it. Liked it.
And of course, our own Melissa Denny. Of course, you know her from the Big Brother updates. Always worthwhile to check out any podcast that she's on. That was from the RHAP Rewind, of course, we got so much going on in our Patreon podcast feed, the two Big Brother podcasts a week, the Survivor Top 40 feedback show, Patreon 5 for 5, monthly Patreon cast. We'll do a Patreon orientation later on this month. Of course, access to our Patreon Facebook group, Patreon Discord, so much more over at robhasawebsite.com/patron, of course, that are any of our sponsors. You can get any special offers that we mentioned on the podcast at robhasawebsite.com/offers. And if you're watching us here on YouTube, be sure to hit the subscribe button and get that bell notification when you click the bell to be notified whenever we go live. And of course, follow us on social media at Rob's Podcast on Twitter, and check out what Mary is doing on the RHAP Instagram. Mary, any tease for what's going on the at RHAP Grams?
Yeah, a lot of polls, couple different questions. I'm curious to see what people think of both the episodes and the live feeds over there, but a lot going on. Still trying to learn how to interact with Instagram, but give me some tips for that if you have any. I'm trying. I really am.
Okay. All right. This was a lot of fun here on night number two. We got so many of these to come over the rest of the summer.
Should be fun.
It's wild. Yes. All right, Mary, what's coming up for you?
Big Brother 23. It's a little show. I don't know if you've heard about it, but I'll be watching that, tweeting that everywhere. You can follow me at Frail Mary to see all my takes on Big Brother. And you can also check me out on Kowski Cast, where I'm covering mostly Twilight right now in the Riverdale off season. So feel free to check that out if you're interested.
Okay. All right. Great job tonight, Mary. Asia, what's coming up for you?
Yeah, so
it's a big Asia week this week.
Right. Everyone can go follow me on Twitter at Terrence Torso. I'm just kidding.
Asia. The huge joke. I hear that's already
it's
active.
Already there.
Yeah.
It's a thing. Ah, it's taken. Okay, so at Asia Like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A, I was on the Wrestling Rehab Up that dropped today. So that was a lot of fun. I haven't watched wrestling since I was 10 years old. So I learned a lot very quickly, and we had a great time. Me and Jason Reed. Join Mari and Matt. So definitely go check that out. It was released today. And then I will also, as Rob already mentioned, I'll be talking about Millennials versus Gen X on Tuesday. So very excited because it's such an awesome season. And then Married at First Sight. I will be, we covered last season, season 12 of Married at First Sight. Season 13 starts on July 21st. So we will be covering that. So keep a lookout for that on Reality TV Rehab Ups. And it should be a good season. They're in Houston, Texas, which is my city that I live in now. So definitely check it out. And if you don't watch Married at First Sight, the podcast is still worth a listen.
Okay. Asia, great to have you back on the panel tonight. And Taryn, what's next for you?
The live feed update tomorrow morning, as well as, you know, the round table coming up. You can of course find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will do my best to, get some streams in, while I still don't have my stuff, but ideally my computer will get here and I'll be streaming some more. So what you should do is go to twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hit the follow button, and then you won't have to wait for me to say that I've got my stuff and I'm going to be streaming more, because you'll just be notified and, it'll tell you, and then you'll be like, okay. Taryn's okay. His stuff wasn't stolen, so it'll be great.
Yes. Do we know that yet?
Pretty sure. Pretty sure I'm good.
Okay. All right. Great job, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. We will be back with the slop on Monday. Talk to you then. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance, and it's a good thing too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.